to learn on his own, either Gemara or Tanakh. There's methodology to Tanakh, just like in Gemara. And, of course, that would be a totally different type of class, and it would take weeks and months, of course, to teach a person how to learn any method in Gemara or Tanakh. And it would be more where you would do the work and I would just be the guide. However, tonight I will just present the stuff more as a presentation, and the questions will be on what I have to say. Please, any type of question is legitimate. You could question me, you could disagree with me, and just don't curse me out loud. And of course, the thing is, insofar as we're concerned, insofar as our discussion, I mean, basically just the argument, I can only take a rational argument, just like I'm sure you don't want me to push my ideas on you. I don't want you to push your ideas on me. So the only thing that we could do is follow the ideas. But after you leave here, of course, the final decision is yours. After that, it's your decision what you want to accept or not. And all I'm here is to raise a few interesting ideas, and maybe we can get into a few interesting fights. Okay. There are five pesukim that I would like... one more thing. There are three levels to this, to what I'm going to give tonight. I'm not interested in finishing. I'm just interested in clarity. We could quit at any point, so don't be afraid to ask. If we don't finish, we either will finish tomorrow night, but the main thing is that an idea becomes clear. Okay, it's based on five psukim in Mishlei. What I'd like to do is first go over just the five psukim so you have a little, just a general view, and then we'll start the analysis. Okay, it's Perek Lamed Pasuk Avdalat. It says, Abraham Ketanei Oretz, there are four small things on the earth, Behem Chachamim Uchukamim, and they're extremely wise. And the first one is Hanamalam Amlo Oz, the ants is not a strong nation. Vayochinu Bakayetz Lachmam, and they prepare in the summer their bread. Shfanim are rock badges, Amlo Otsum, they're also not a strong nation. Vayasimu Basela Besam, and they place in the rocks their home. The next one is Melachin La'arbe, the locusts do not have any king. Vayetze Chotzeitz Kulo, and they all go out to forage together. And the last one is Samamis Biodayim Tesapes, a monkey grabs with his hands, Vihi Behechle Melech, and he is in the palace of the king. Okay, that's just the general overview, okay? Now let's start again. Okay, if there are any questions, or if you didn't hear something, or whatever, just please interrupt at any point, okay? Arbaim Ketanei Aretz. There are four small things in the land. It means that there are small weak. The fourth weak. They have small means a certain weakness. They have a certain weakness. However, Behemah Chachamim Muchukamim, and they're extremely wise. Okay. Now the first thing is that the four things, like you notice, were four different animals, and I don't believe any animal is wise. Now the thing is what the Ibn Ezra says is that it shows God's wisdom. In other words, we will see God's wisdom, a certain view of the world where we could view God's wisdom. Okay? What is the wisdom? The wisdom what we're going to find in the four is that each one of these four has a certain weakness. Okay? And God implanted a certain instinct so as to help them overcome this weakness, okay? So the first thing is we're going to take the mushal the way it is. We're just going to analyze the mushal itself, not the nimshal. Everybody knows what mushal is, the metaphor. Nimshal is the interpretation of the metaphor. All right, the first one is Anamolim Amlo Oz. The ant is not a strong nation. Vayachinu Bakayetz Lachmam, and they prepare in the summer their bread. Question is, what is the weakness? I mean, smallness is not necessarily a weakness, but the smallness represents some type of weakness. And the only way we could see what the weakness is from the result. What is the result? They prepare in the summer their bread, right? And the reason is because they're very, very small, and they cannot forage like let's say, wolves. They might not, it might be winter, they can't get food, but they could forage, they could constantly go and travel long distances where they could find their food, and they have the ability to find their food during the winter. The ant does not. The ant cannot get in the winter. Now, the ant does not think, well, let's see, since I can't forage in the winter, so I better store some stuff away. I better pickle some stuff for the winter. He doesn't think that way. But however, God instinctually placed in the ant the instinct for putting things away for storage. Okay, and so therefore that's the way he's able to live during the winter months. Okay, are there any questions? Is that clear? I mean, is it clear? No problem? Okay. What? Well, you have to... Well, in this case, it only says small. Small could be anything. Maybe somebody will trample on it. Maybe that's its weakness. I don't know. So it's not a strong nation. So what about it? What's a weakness? It's not strong, but the question is, when we say not strong, in what way? They are not strong that they can't stand up to somebody stepping on them. I mean, they can't stand up to an anteater. I mean, whatever. I mean, there's hundreds of weaknesses that they have. The question is, which one is Shlomo HaMelech pointing to? So the only way in this case can you tell is from the answer, is that he prepares. Oh, so what's the weakness? Why does he have to prepare? Must be that if he didn't prepare, he would have a weakness. He would not survive. You see? Amloaz. The reason why he mentions about the nation is because the species would totally die out. They didn't have this thing. It's not a matter of one or two. The species itself wouldn't be. You see? Okay? And that would be the same thing why it also says by the Shafanim, the rock badgers, Amlo Atsum. Atsum also means a type of strength. They do not have a type of strength. Okay? The same thing, it speaks about the arm. Okay? Any other questions about the ant? Okay? Clear? Okay. By Shafanim is a rock badger, and yes? I'm not redefining. I'm just saying that in the first sentence it says that the ant has a weakness. But however, from the first part, I cannot find out what the weakness is because there are many weaknesses. And the question is, which one is Shlomo speaking about? That I can only see from the answer. Right. Right, it says he's not powerful. Now, when it says he's not powerful, what does that mean? He's not powerful against the anteater or against other animals? Well, what is it? Against the weather or against what? I mean, he also builds a underground tunnel, right? Now, that's also a defense against something, that naturally that he builds that. But he's not interested in what the weakness is there. There's a lot of weaknesses in the ant. There's not only one, but he's only interested in pointing out one. You'll see that the four things, insofar as the mushel is concerned, the four things that is just four, like it would just be four arbitrarily he's grabbing on to four. They only make sense insofar as why he chose the particular quality, only insofar as the nimshel is concerned. You see? But the thing is, insofar as we're concerned that we're only learning the mushel, he's giving four arbitrary illustrations of one principle to show God's chachma in that when there is a weakness, God has created the antidote and the overcoming the weakness. That's one principle that he's giving four illustrations. But the truth is, it's not four illustrations in the Nimshel. In the Nimshel, it's four clear, very cut ideas, and these mashalim had to be for the nimshal, for what he's trying to bring out in the nimshal. Okay? Yes. Like I said, insofar as the mashal, he could have brought out 25 other animals, 25 other weaknesses, and 25 other antidotes. That could be. If there's five different ones, then he only chose one because he was only interested in this one idea. It could be he could have chosen five others. But since he had to choose one, he picked one. There could be no reason why he picked one over the other. Unless you could show me that one other is a better illustration of the nimshal, not the mashal. I'm not saying it's the best. There could have been five others that are equally good. If they're all equal, then God had to choose one. And anyone he would have chosen, you could have asked the same question. You can't do it. You can't choose it. They're equal, so what's the difference? The only question you could show me, if after we get through with the nimshal, and you show me there could have been a better illustration, then it's fine. Then we'll be in trouble. That's when we'll be in trouble. Okay. Yes? Yeah, well, I'll tell you, because then he only had to give one illustration. And he says the number four, and I can tell you there's not four, there's 124. You know, there's millions. Yeah, every different species has a certain weakness, and therefore they operate in a certain way to overcome that weakness. So it's not only four, but when he says the number four, that number four is for the nimshal. You find there could be five ideas, then again I'll be in trouble in the nimshal. Okay, is there any questions? Clear? That's the first illustration. The second illustration is the rock badger, and it says he makes his home in the rocks. And it says, again, he's not a strong nation, so the only way I can know his weakness is from where he makes his home, and that's in the rocks. And the question is, why does he make it in the rocks? You see, rock badger is like a rabbit. It has no protection at all. That you can't get with its claws, with its teeth, nothing. It has no body protection, nothing. So there's only one protection. Run. Escape. So he's in the rock so he could get away from his enemies. See, if he didn't have that protection, he'd be food for every animal and he'd be finished. That's it. It would disappear. But there's one thing he can do to protect himself is he can't escape. He knows that he has to get away. Okay? So he runs. He doesn't have any, like there's certain animals that have an emotion that if you start up, they attack. The rock badger naturally runs out among the rocks, and he's protected. Okay? Right. Melech ein larbe. The locusts do not have a king. Vayetzei chotzeis kulo, and they all go out to forage together. Okay, what's the problem over here? What's the problem? What? Yeah, what's the weakness? Right. It says, Melechein La'arbe. What's the weakness? You see, the organization usually needs one leader. Tell everybody what to do. You say organization. But yet, instinctually, everyone, like they have the ones that collect the food, they have the ones, the army, and those that take care of the queen. They have all different things, you see. And each one does his job without being told, you see, because they operate as a total group, and they have to operate together as a total group. It's not an individual that he's eating, but it looks like each one is just eating, but really they're working together as a group, and yet there is no overseer to tell each one what to do. They just do it on their own. You see? And yet they operate as a total unit, without anybody mentioning anything. You see? Okay? They one time had a National Geographic on TV about the termites, out in Africa, they build these big, tall, build, I don't know, they're like tunnels, like. What?
Mutu.
Mutu. All right. Now, they went through the whole system for an hour. Like, they show how there's those that go out to forage to get the food. Then they have the soldiers. Then they have the those that naturally take care of the nursery. Those that take the food and make it into other things. Those that build the this mud tube. And the whole thing and a whole project. And when, if there is if they lose a certain amount, they somehow get the information to the queen, who her job is only to produce, and she produces that type of termite that is necessary when they get the information to her, so that they naturally do it. But there's nobody telling anybody what to do, but each one knows to do their own job. I'm not as clear in the in this. I never saw a National Geographic on this. But anyway... But it's the same. It's another. No, the weakness is that there's no king to tell him. An organization is usually the one man, and then he tells each person what to do. You see?
How could that be considered a weakness?
No, in natural. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Naturally, they have to work as a group, and therefore they should fail. What God created was that each one knows his job to do. Because usually when you have a group of people operating, what you need is somebody, an overseer, to tell them how to operate. Okay? The last one is the monkey. The monkey grabs with his hands, and he's in the house of the king. Now, the problem over here is the monkey in the forest has no problem existing. His problem is in the city. In the city, he has a problem, but not in the forest. So God worked out that the monkey could even live in the city. How did he live? Because the very quality mentions that he grabs with his hands. Grabbing with your hands, no animal grabs with the hands except the human, you see. But the monkey imitates the human. And the human always thinks anybody that imitates them is cute. Like your little baby, why is the baby cute? Oh, look what the little baby did, right? And it's something cute, right? Something like an adult would do. You see, it's cute. The same thing the monkey seems to have. In fact, we call them, oh, you little monkey, you, right? It's the same. It's the very same quality that endears them to the owner, right? And so, therefore, they get fed by that quality of endearment. In other words, if you make a monkey out of yourself, you'll have what to eat. That's it. Okay. Okay, those are the four things. Okay, before we get to the Nimshel, I'd like to give you one idea about these four things. The thing is that, first of all, there are many ways of seeing God in the universe. And here is just for us to recognize God's Chachma, to be aware. In other words, see, the thing is that the same God that made the Torah made the universe. There can't be any contradiction between the two. And the whole world, the Torah and the world, its purpose is only one thing, to show God's Chachma. And anybody could see God's Chachma. And that's the way you get to know God, by seeing His Chachma. And one of the ways of seeing His Chachma is through God's justice. It is unjust for God to create a species that cannot exist, that they have a certain need, and that need will not be satisfied. That would be unjust. Imagine if you create something that has a certain need, and the only way it could exist if it satisfies that need, and God does not create a cure for that the problem. It would be an extinction, right? What? What about extinction? Like, for instance,
dinosaurs.
That's a good question. You mean dinosaurs?
That was caused by man.
That
was caused by
the. Yeah, maybe it could be. It could be that it was necessary for a certain amount of time to continue, but it was not necessary for further. On the contrary, might be harmful.
Would that be unjust to the species itself?
No.
It might not be unjust to the rest of the world, but like.
Right. The only thing is that. You see, when you say it might be unjust to the species, everything must fit into God's plan. You see? And the ultimate is God's plan, whatever, that's a separate problem, what God's plan is. Now, the thing is that there are certain things that are only there. I'll give you one illustration, okay? Just one illustration. There is a terrible, terrible weakness that God created. He created one species that have the worst weakness in the world. It happens to be a human being, okay? And he gave them something that we all brag about. What do we brag about? We're the only species that has free will. That was the worst thing God could have done. I mean, look at all the catastrophes because people have the ability to do evil. Right? It's a terrible catastrophe to the physical world. But the only thing is it had to be that way because it was God's will that one species should have free will. So therefore, it was in his plan. You see what I mean? No, what I'm saying is that there's certain things that were created, like, for instance, there's a lot of things that were created only insofar as to help man to get ahead. Now, only insofar was necessary for man, but insofar as it would be harmful for man to get ahead, let's say the dinosaur was necessary for a particular purpose, and then if it continued, it would be harmful insofar as God's plan is concerned. You see what I mean? So insofar as God's overall plan is concerned, it would come out that that's a weakness. So therefore, insofar as God's total plan, it could have been a benefit. Yes?
If we're worried about God's total plan, therefore an animal could be created that has certain needs that can't be fulfilled.
No. While it's in existence, it has to be fulfilled, and then God takes away the species. That's something else. In other words, let's say he created a species for no purpose, and then he just didn't create to be able to satisfy its needs.
Unless he created a species that has its needs, in order so that it should kill itself out at a later date, that's why it has its needs.
Fine.
Therefore, it's creating a species which has a need and not being fulfilled. And we're saying that's not just.
No, it has to satisfy its needs so it exists. Now, insofar as the dinosaur existed,
the dinosaur doesn't want it to exist, and it's creating this need in order that the animal should kill itself out after the purpose of God is fulfilled. Then God has created an animal which has a need which cannot be fulfilled, and we're saying that's not just.
You're saying
it is just. What? We're saying we can't create an animal which has a need which can't be fulfilled. But if it fits in God's total plan, now we're saying we can. I mean, you could create an animal which has a need which can't be fulfilled.
And what's that?
The
difference
between the situation of the animal and the need that's fulfilled.
Well, unless you're saying that need which has to be fulfilled is a situation in which you're going to die in God's plan.
We don't know how it's that out.
I'm saying.
Yes. Okay, yes. I understand. Okay. Can I have your attention? Just a minute. Let me clarify. Okay. I'm not saying we can't lose a species. We are losing plenty of species today because of free will, because of man choosing the wrong way. Right? But the only thing is that I'm saying that inherently in the species, in other words, let's put it this way, there are outside factors that could destroy the species. But destroyed, basically, the dinosaur seems to be change in the atmosphere. Okay? There seems to have been something that they couldn't exist. I'll get to you just for a minute. Okay? But however, inherently, God cannot create... In other words, in today also, there's certain species dying out because of outside factors, because of human beings. You see? So the thing is, yes, outside factors could destroy a species, but God cannot create a species that cannot satisfy itself. Okay? Okay. Yes?
I think maybe we misinterpreted the word need. An animal, like a dinosaur, doesn't have any need. God created it for his certain need. Now, whether that's coexistence or for another animal to thrive on that need is the main question.
Yeah, but...
If it's going to extinction, that was the need for it, for another animal to thrive on.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, inherently, while it's in existence, it must satisfy its needs for the existence of the species. Okay? It must have every component to be the species should exist. I'm not saying there cannot be outside factors. That was the point with the dinosaur. The question of the dinosaur says that outside factors can destroy the species, but not inherently, that inherently it's created with the weakness. That's all I'm saying. And we see that from here, from this idea. Okay? Yeah, but it seems... Yeah, I understand. But the only thing is, it seems to be, from what I understand, the only thing I know, evolution is not an exact science. You know what I mean? But however, that's the only thing I could go by. The facts that seem to be that there are outside factors there that brought it about its destruction. There don't seem to be an inside inherent need. That I would have no way of knowing. If you could prove that, then you would have a question. Then I'd have to back down, totally. I understand. Well, then I don't have to back down. Can't prove it. I don't have, you know what I mean? The facts, what seem to be right now, what I have, and I can only live by the facts that I have now. You know what I mean? You know? That's true, too. That's true. That's true. Yes. I'm saying that it is unfair for God to create a species that cannot exist. What? You mean what's unfair about it? That's true, too. Now, it's true, it's pointless. You want to say it's pointless. And not unfair.
What? You can't say it's pointless. That's a catch
on God. No. He's saying that if he creates a species that dies out, would be pointless, right?
Yeah, from our crazy framework, but...
Well, that's also, they're right, from our crazy framework, it's Akasha, right? Don't we always ask Akasha? From our framework, what other framework could I ask my questions from?
God's framework.
I can't ask God. I'm not asking for, he's not asking from God's framework. He's asking insofar as God creates, he's asking insofar as his view of the physical world. Right. But your question is that it's pointless and not unjust. Okay. Right. It's true, you know, I use the term unjust, but what it means unjust by God, that you know what I mean, that in itself is going to take us far afield. I'll accept the pointless, okay? In other words, I'll accept the pointless. I'm not going to try and define justice. You know what I mean? That would take us far afield from what we have to discuss now. But fine, I'll accept that too. Okay? But without that statement, what I'm trying to show you is that Shlomo HaMelech is trying to bring out a certain view of nature that you could see God. In other words, it's with tremendous, God created the world with Chachma. And even in nature, you could see a tremendous amount of wisdom. And this is a certain aspect of that, of that chachma, you see. I'm not saying there aren't others. There's a tremendous amount of others, but this is one aspect. You'll see a lot of weaknesses in thousands in every species. There's a certain weakness, and yet somehow it's all worked out that the species should exist. I mean, that's a tremendous chachma, that each one has its way out and it doesn't interfere with anything else, and they all have to interreact. And they all should exist in this system. It's a tremendous chachma. Yes. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, they would exist if they didn't. I said the monkey, that he cannot exist only in the city. And I told you also that he brought these illustrations only for the nimshal. Okay? And therefore, you're right. It's not precise. It's not precise. But it is chachma that the monkey can exist in a particular situation which was not made for the monkey. Okay? But these he's only bringing that only insofar as the Nimshal. Yes. What? You mean why not create it perfect? Well, if it has no weakness, you mean it's perfect. That would be God. That would be God. By weakness, you... What? What'd you say? Right. No one would have to eat. That would be perfect. Because you have a weakness if you don't eat. Any type of weakness, you have to breathe. Oh, that's a weakness. Because without breathing, you die. And if you're going to get down to it, you're going to have to find God. Okay? By definition, the physical world is weak. It's weaknesses. There's no such thing as no weakness. Okay? Right. There's... Yes? Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's justice. When we say God's justice, means it's perfection. Right. Okay. Good. Right. 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 That's something else. I'm only talking... Right, that's another thing we could see also. I mean, there's a certain chachma in studying the universe. We're only studying one idea, that every species must, by definition, in the physical world, must have a weakness. But yet, God has an answer for every weakness. And therefore, that's a view of God's chachma. Okay? Now, I thought of one idea... And I never experimented, and I didn't experiment, and I don't think I could experiment at this point, but some of you might have young children, you know? And I was thinking that children naturally identify with animals, right? That'd be interesting if at a certain age, I think maybe 7 or 8, I think a child might be able to understand this idea, and if they identify without, I don't think you should draw the conclusion. But just give him illustration after illustration. Don't even tell him the principle. But give him illustration of the weakness of the animals and show them the answer. Now, the thing is that they'll start seeing that for every problem that an animal has, there is an answer. It is very possible that the kid will get a certain security by because the kid realizes he has weaknesses. You say he sees that. It's a big problem. On the contrary, he's very frightened. It's very possible through the identification to the animal, it's very possible to have a feeling of security and also a certain relationship to God. Because that God, you see, that there is that, everybody has problems and every animal, and God works it out. And therefore, when the kid feels insecure, even though he might not have the answer, he has that principle, not by showing him illustration. He doesn't learn he can't understand an abstract idea, you see. But however, how you get it across is by many, many illustrations. And like we said, there's not only these four, there's thousands of illustrations, and therefore, slowly but surely, in different situations, to try to bring this idea, I think it should help a child find a little security with the weaknesses of the physical world. Yes?
Yeah. What you answered about the monkey...
The thing is that the monkey would exist in the forest, that was the question. So you see that he could exist without this.
Yeah.
Right. So I said that the fact that he has a weakness in this particular situation, not in the total species, the fact is that was only brought only insofar as the Nimshal. Insofar as the Nimshal is concerned.
Okay,
not insofar. It shows God's wisdom or how a monkey could operate in a certain situation and exist, which it was not created for. The monkey was created to live in the forest. Yet even in a place where he was not created for, there is a way of working it out. Okay? So that also shows something, but that was only brought, again, it was brought only for the Nimshal. Right? But the Mashal is only one idea, not the four, it's just one idea with four illustrations. In the Nimshal, we're going to have four different ideas. Each illustration is another idea. You see what I mean? Okay? And this this is the idea. You want to ask a question? What? No, okay. Yes. The four is only insofar as the Nimshal is concerned, not the Mashal. The Mashal is only one idea with four illustrations. The Nimshal, the reason why he brought these four illustrations is because of the Nimshal. Okay? That is the first, I told you there were three steps. That is the first step. It's a very clear idea. It's a help for us. In other words, for us to recognize God and to see God's Chachma, and I think it can be a benefit in the education of our children, young children, where before they understand the world of ideas, you can start getting across certain ideas of God, and through illustrations, ideas that are beyond them. They won't relate to ideas, but through illustrations, and I think a certain psychological security. And when I come visit again, you'll tell me the conclusions of your research in that area. Okay. All right. Are there any questions? No? Okay, then let's start again. Okay. Time to move on, or tell me whenever you want to quit, whenever you get tired, whatever. Okay. Arboim again. Arboim ketane yoretz. There are four weaknesses in the, small means weakness in the world. They're extremely wise. Okay. Question is, who was the book of Mishlei written for? It wasn't written for the animals, it was written for man. Right? Okay. There are four weaknesses in man, and with the Chachma that God gave him, he could work it out. He could work out these four weaknesses. If he has Chachma, if he learns from the animals the wisdom, then he will be able to work out the four weaknesses that man has. Okay? Any questions? Clear? All right. So now we've got to go through the four again, except to see the weaknesses in man. Okay. The first one is Hanamolim Amloaz. The ant is not a strong nation. Vayachinu b'kayetz lachmam, and they prepare in the summer their bread, right? So what is it saying? Well, I have to make a living, and so therefore I have to go to college to make a living. I have to prepare. And with his wise intelligence, he knows to prepare for the future, right? A simple idea, right? And man has the chachma. So the question is, where's the weakness? The weakness is that I don't see very few, I don't see very many people using it. In fact, I see it a rarity that people use it. I'll give you an illustration. You'll notice that the great Chachma that the world uses, insofar as the future is concerned, just so happens what that society is interested in. In other words, you were raised that you have to go to college. So therefore, the society demands college. So do you go because you know? In other words, a lot of people say, I ask them, why are you going to college? So they say, because I have to prepare for the future. I'll ask you one question, okay? When you say prepare for the future, do you have to prepare for your health? Yes, okay? So I'll say, what about smoking? Oh, we don't smoke. Nobody smokes today. Today, everybody knows smoking is unhealthy. Wonderful. What about when you go out to eat cold cuts? Oh, you do. What about there's a certain chemical in there that could cause cancer like that? Why don't you prepare there? But that the society is not against. But they're against smoking. You see? And I'll show you, there's an interesting advertisement about drugs. They have a group of kids saying, we were on drugs and we gave it up. Very wise kids. I'll ask you, why'd you start on it? You see, why they gave it up, again, not because they're chachamim, because they felt the pain of what it really is, But they didn't see it beforehand that there is pain. You see? It's not because you're a chacham that you see it. Most people do not see the future. The only future that you see is based on the family or society you were raised in, what they taught you. But the thing is, so therefore it's painful to separate from the family or the society, therefore you do it. But for those people that are rebellious, they want to separate, so they turn away from those things too. Yes. No. That's experience. Chachma is in my mind, I'll tell you. I will show you five people that had a, that did a certain act, and they had a certain effect. And I say, hey, yeah, that's a bad thing, I'm going to stop it.
That's chachma.
No, that's not chachma. That is chachma. Pain, people run away from pain. Right, that's even worse. You're right, that's even worse. Yeah, I understand. In other words, you mean they pulled out, those that had the pain and pulled out. Yeah, the thing is, I am sure that when the other people are in the pain, they also think of pulling out, but what happens is that they don't have the psychological ability to pull out. You see, in other words, see, going in, everybody will soon discuss why, but the thing is that they don't think about the future, you see? But however, coming, that's no thought at all. But then when they feel the pain, they want to get out. But the only thing is, some can't get out. Psychologically, you can't get out. Not everybody, you know, you can't just get out. Right. No, I'm showing there's two levels. There's one, a physical experience that a person acts on, and there's an act only on the mind, that the mind sees it without any physical experience. That's what we call, when Pirkei Avos, Ezel Chacham HaRoes HaNolad. Now the truth is, when you say Roeh, sees the future, that's a quality of a Navi, not a Chacham. Why does it say Roeh? It says Ezel Chacham HaYodeas HaNolad. Because where's we all that everybody knows the future. That's no problem to knowing. But that it's real to you, as if you see it, as if it's a real five-sense experience, that takes a tremendous amount of chachmah. That's a rarity. That's a rarity. You see? Most people that they think they're preparing, if you're really honest, you'll see that you're not preparing. Because I'll prove it to you. I'll show you any area that the society doesn't deal with. You're not preparing there. That you don't prepare for. How many people here, a lot of you are going to be getting married in a few years. How many of you are preparing to raise children? Do you know the heartache of raising a bare child? You know what that means? Look around. How many of you are prepared to raise a child? Society, every parent knows how to raise a child. I don't see that. Most parents that I've raised, they have a tremendous, what they call, a generation gap. How do you overcome? Anybody think, did you ever think, well, how am I going to overcome that? And I know when I was a kid, we all said, we're going to raise our children differently. Why? My parents, I'm sure, said the same thing when they were teenagers. When they're upset with their parents, so they say, I'm not going to do that. And then when they become a parent, sure enough, they do it. Same thing. So therefore, it takes a certain amount of chachmah to realize, hey, just 1 minute, maybe I have to give it a little more thought. And I realize that there's a tremendous amount, but you don't feel it. You're not a parent. I mean, you're a teenager involved in a different world. What should you think of that? When you become a parent, then you feel the heartache. When you feel the heartache, you say, boy, you know, like I would have done it different. Well, you say, I tried my best. You know, well, you give all these excuses, but the fact is you have the pain. Whatever excuses, you feel the pain if you lose a child to some different way. I'm not talking about death. I'm talking you lose a child from the right way. You see? Now, how many people in that worldwide now society discuss that? Why discuss? Look, you're going to be a parent. Let's do that. That they don't discuss. So therefore, I don't think about that because my society is a money society. I have to go to college because I have to make a living. You see? So it's not a real wisdom. The ant has more wisdom than we do. Well, it's really God's chachma. But the thing is that's the weakness. The weakness is that we have the chachma, but we don't use it. And the question is, why don't we use it? I think everybody knows the future. That's not the problem in knowing. The problem is seeing it, making it real. Why don't we? What? Slowly. Just a minute. I understand that. Do you think it's worth just survival? I mean, survival? Oh, I see. You mean that? All right. Right? Good. Right. Okay. Right. Okay. Now, let's say, for instance, we know all about cancer, and a person is smoking and continues smoking. Is he going to survive? What? Okay.
Not every man smokes. No,
right.
Not every man
doesn't
think about raising their
right. Right. Okay. You're talking about a group of people? Okay. Even if, I don't think that's true. If you learn through all of Mishlei, you'll see that Mishlei is talking about the end of it. Yeah, the thing is... Yeah. No, that's a good question. But the fact is that the way man is going now, if there wasn't... And there's noise pollution. Besides atomic bombs and all these bombs and weapons, people are getting cancer all over the place. And you don't think there's extinction in the near future? No? What makes you think not? Could you... What?
Longer than when? Not longer than...
Yeah. What's the quality of life like?
One minute. He's not talking about quality. He's talking about existence. Yeah, when you say... Yes.
Why do you have to answer that, in fact, the muscle is literal. In other words, our existence will continue as a species to exist. An animal, that is all an animal can do.
Right, right.
But that's the highest point for an animal.
Good, right.
Say. Yeah, but for a man, you can't just say it's highest point to exist.
No, that is true. That is true. No, that is true. That is true.
So to say that it's... species, we're weak in the sense that we don't strive towards that. We have the ability, but we don't use it to reach our highest essence, which is not existence. In our case, it's something else.
Right. What would you say to his answer? What?
I'm saying your argument is with the animals, but you have to understand that the animals, their highest point is existence. all they have. So when you give them mercy, say that they have a weakness that goes against that existence, and they have a instinct which helps them exist as a species. But with man, our highest level is not existing. We have something higher.
But that's part of it. Let's put it this way. Let's put it this way. Let's forget about my answer. But the thing is that when it says that that it will not exist, I'm not interested. It's true that if it didn't have that quality, it's a good odds that it would not, even though ants in Africa would exist. The mushroom is still good. The fact is that without that quality to store, they would not exist. And humans without that quality are going to fail and possibly die because they do not prepare for the future, right? Okay? Not the whole, I don't know about the whole thing. But the fact is that even today, there are many places that died out because they did not deal with certain problems that if they had shown some foresight and would have prepared, in studies of civilizations, they would have existed. And without it, whole societies and individuals also. You understand? So it's an individual too. It's individuals, the society, whatever, the whole, but let's put it this way. It's either death or the definitely harm. Like, for instance, with a child, I won't die if my child becomes something I'm not happy with, but definitely I will be unhappy. I mean, that's definitely that I'm not preparing for the future. The idea is the preparation that we get from the animal is the preparation for the future, the harm that it does us, both physically and emotionally. That's the nimshal, is the harm that... The two things, life itself and the quality of life, is in the nimshah. Okay? Yes?
From what I understand, you're saying that wisdom is when you see something from the track, and you have pain, and as a result, you go the other way. That's not wisdom, that's just reacting to pain.
Again, if somebody.
Wisdom is when you see something from the track level.
Right.
But if somebody has pain, and as a result, doesn't do something. That's not wisdom. That's just running from something.
Yeah, like when you put your hand in fire, you pull it out. You can't tell me that's wisdom.
One second. Unless you define wisdom as the result of a physical action. Sometimes it could be something happening amongst different particles. It could be seeing it on someone else. It also might mean you going through pain. But wisdom is the result of a physical action. And if it entails you sticking your hand in the fire, then that could be considered wisdom also.
If you tell me that a guy had pain, and then he thought it through, and he thought whether he should continue, and he worked it out with Chachma, then I would say, yes, that's Chachma. But the thing is, No. Most of them do not think, most of them react to the pain, and they move away because of the pain. You're talking about the rare individual, then the thing is that rare individual, I'll ask you, why did he get into the situation to begin with?
Because he didn't realize it.
Oh, that's something else. You mean some outside factor.
Right. So then,
that's something. But I'm talking about drugs. Everybody knew what drugs could cause. There's no big problem. I understand the Chacham recognizes when he sees pain, so he realizes that he did something wrong and he thinks it over. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's tshuva. That's the idea of tshuva. But I'll tell you something else. The fact is, he didn't live correctly.
Correct.
He's living incorrectly. But the Chacham is the person that thinks in every area of life what the consequences are, and he makes a decision based on the mind. People do not think naturally that way. Okay, gentlemen, are there any questions? Okay, that's the first. But the only thing is we have to ask one question. Why is it that man, if it's so easy, really we all know the future. But the only thing is we don't act on it. Why is it that we don't act on it? What is the quality that stops it from making it real? In other words, it's a knowledge. Every day we all know most of the things that many times we don't do, we know. But somehow we don't do it. Why don't we do it? Because usually we say one thing. We say, that's not going to happen to me. Not going to happen to me. There's a certain feeling of self, the self. It's an interesting thing. I had to walk with Shmuley from here to Bayswater. We had to walk on Cornega. So Shmuley says, I'm not worried for me, I'm worried for you. Right? So then he thought, he said, just one minute. He's very complimentary, my son. He says, just one minute. Now, that's impossible because definitely I have to care more about myself than you. Right? Okay? So I said, okay, good question. So what are you going to say? He said a very interesting thing. He says, because by me, I feel that I'm not going to be harmed. But you can be harmed. That's what he says to his father. But anyway, but he says, you can be harmed. That I could see the reality, because I only see the power of the ego that I cannot be harmed is only attached to me, you see? But that you're attached to me through some identification, he says, that's not enough to carry my ego to you, not to you. So you could be harmed, so I'm worried about you. Me, I'm not worried about it. It can't happen to me. But that's the real truth, you see? That's really a true insight, that the truth is that we feel, every human being feels, that it cannot happen to him, but it can happen to anybody else. You see? And the thing is that, therefore, it's not a conscious thing, it's a very deep unconscious thing, but the fact is, I don't care if you see that deep unconscious thing, but the fact is, if you see how people live, the fact is they are living exactly that way. They make decisions as if things will not happen to them. In fact, excuse me, children are worse than adults. Why? Because by adults, reality is starting to sink in. So even though in youth, sometimes we're very wild, and then we stop that wildness when we get a little older, is because reality somehow has started to affect us a little bit more. Even without study, to a certain extent, it affects us and makes us not as wild because we sense a certain vulnerability, you see? But the fact is that I do not have to live, even though I know, about my child, I'll handle it. I'll be able to deal with that. Somehow, you feel, I'll be able to do it. Yes? Right.
Right. Well, family has cancer, they right. still say that. Absolutely. The closer the friend, the more.
But even how close the friend is, there's no comparison to the self. Right. There's no comparison to themselves. Right. That is the first weakness. And that is the ego that we cannot see that we have any vulnerability at all. And therefore, I do not have to prepare for the future. And therefore, all I have to do is act on pain and pleasure as it hits me immediately without any thought for the future. That's it. Okay? Any questions? So the weakness is ego. Okay? In the end, there was a practical thing. We have the same practicality. We have the knowledge. But what we can't do is our ego stops us from making it a reality. That is the first weakness of the human being. Any questions? The pasuk is that the mashal only has the physical weakness, but the man has the chachma. So therefore, what stops him is the chachma. He doesn't use his chachma. He has the knowledge of the future, but he doesn't use it. Generation after generation make the same stupid mistakes. You see, there's no change there because I'm different. And we have all proofs that we're different. Okay? Now, if we have time, I don't know how much time we have. If we have time, or if you want tomorrow, I don't care. I'd like to go in this area a little bit more, but insofar as the pasuk, I think we covered the pasuk. So I'd like to finish up the four, the all four, if not tonight, then tomorrow, if you want, if you're interested, and then to spend a little more time just in this one area. Okay? Is there any questions? Should I continue now? Yes? Should I continue now? Okay. Okay. So the second one is... where's the second one? Where am I? Oh, here we are. Shafanim Amlo Otsum, the rock badger, that's like a rabbit. Vayasimu Basela Besam, okay? So they know that they have to run away, right? Okay. What is by man? Well, if somebody comes with a machine gun or somebody comes with a shotgun and I don't have any, I know I have to run away. Right? What? That's right, and you run away, right? Okay, good. Good. Okay. All right. The thing is, I'm not getting involved in that one. Forget it. All right. The thing is that... that's your share. Okay. But anyway, the thing is that there is a certain thing, there's one quality which the rock badger has. What does he have? One quality. He knows that he has to back down to survive. Okay? Now, there's a tremendous amount of situations that we have to back down, not only for survival, but for happiness. That would be much easier in life if we back down. Let's put it this way. If two people have a fight and one doesn't fight, there is no fight. Right? It has to take two to have a fight. And if you scream at somebody who doesn't say anything, after a while you're going to stop. You have to. What the Yeah, I understand. I'm not saying that you should be like the rock badger to always back down. That I'm not saying. There is a fight. There is a time when you should fight. There's no question. What? No. You mean where his life is in danger, where a guy's going to punch him, right? I'm not saying every situation you should back down. And not only that, I say sometimes you should make sure you destroy the guy before he gets a chance to even start up with you, right? I'm not saying we should back down. That I'm not saying. But I'm saying there are a tremendous amount of situations where rationale would dictate that you should back down, but you would not back down. You see? There are petty little arguments tremendous amount of... I want you to know many fights are simply over petty arguments. If you really analyze it simply, it's a petty argument. The argument would be over if one of you would back down. You see? Okay? So the thing is, and there's a tremendous time... with parents, with teachers, and I want you to know a lot of fights is just a matter of knowing when to back down or how to back down. Sometimes it's not just backing down, it's how to back. I'm not saying I do not hold from not fighting. I do hold from fighting. And sometimes I do hold that you should punch the guy even before he starts to protect yourself. There's no question about it. But however, I'm just saying that many times we could be very, very successful by backing down, but there's a certain ego that I'm not going to give in to that guy. You see? The first type of ego is I'm not going to give in to reality. Reality, that's for other people. Me, I'm different. The second level is where I'm not going to give in to a human being. Who is he that I should back down? He said that to me. I'm going to answer him. I'm not going to let him get away with that. You see? And sometimes, I want you to know, the odds are in most of your fights, backing down would save you a tremendous amount of pain. Tremendous. Most of your fights. Okay? The thing is that the ego does not let you back down. Believe me, I would suspect the marriages are over because of this quality, this problem. Anger and the things that do not let you back down is anger, competition, the feeling that I have to win. Okay, the thing is, all these areas do not, that emotion that brings out, that part of the ego that brings out your sense of competition, your sense of your anger, all these things. I want you to know, most of this, there's a certain anger that's built from aggression, like an angry person. But most of your arguments, if you stop to think about it, most of the things that get you angry is your ego. If somebody hurts your ego, that's when you get angry. Angry, many times, people think is aggressive. Most of anger, I would say around 95% of anger, is a result of your ego. So the thing is self-importance. Who are you to say that to me? Right? Who are you to act that way to me? Oh, that's why. So I cut you down. Oh, I cut you down. I'm not going to let you get away with that. And that's it. Goodbye. You see? And I'll tell you, even if it does start from anger, what keeps you separated is the ego. Because many times people don't even remember what they were fighting about. And I'm not going to talk. He's going to give in to me. What are you fighting about? I don't know. But he's going to give in. Okay? That's the second one. The second one is that you must know when to back down. It's a different angle of the ego, okay? So we saw two angles of the ego that you will be harmed if you give in to the ego and do not follow the chachma, okay? And therefore you're going to fail. That's second. Okay? Now it says, Melech ein l'arbe. The locust doesn't have a king. The weakness is that they need the group to succeed. Okay? Right. Now, the thing is that there are many, many things. Like, there's a chazal that says like this. It says that Adam Arishon, for him to do anything, for instance, when he wanted bread, so he had to plant, he had to plow. First he had to plow, seed it, make sure it grows, then he had to harvest it, he had to grind it, And then he had to make it into dough, then he had to bake it, then he had his bread. He says, me, I wake up in the morning, I have my bread ready. Right? Why is that? What did he have over Adam Arishon? He had one thing, had a society. Today, most of our goods is based on we have so much goods, so much things, is based on a simple idea. And that is the assembly line. Assembly line is simple, that we work together. Each one does their job in particular. It works out that we have a tremendous amount of goods. You have to work together, okay? But, however, if you speak in organizations that are out to do things, you will always find there is always one complaint. There's always the same two, three people. Nobody else wants to help, you see? So the thing is that, or if it's for my money, if I'm going to make a living, I'm going to be fired, so then I'm willing to do my job when my boss tells me to. My boss is watching, right? But the thing is that if you recognize the benefits that you get from a society, then you should be willing to do whatever is necessary for the society. Because if you don't have the society, there's wars and fights and people not working together, you lost a tremendous amount. So therefore, when you recognize the benefit of society, you say, well, whatever I could do, I will do, because it's a benefit for me. But what does most people say? That guy is sitting home and I should work for him. What are you talking about? I'm not going to work for him. You see? So therefore, if you just stop and think, if you had to go back to the cave. I mean, the caveman, if you went back to the cave, I mean, they have these survivalists. They're going down into the cave with all their things, so when the atomic bomb blows up, they're going to be the ones that survive. Can you imagine what type of life they're going to have if they survive? What are they going to have? Definitely not the life they have now, you see? But the thing is that I don't know if most people want to be here for that type of life. But for existence, yeah, but I don't know about for life. But anyway, the thing is that we, if you really stop to think what benefits you get because of a society, I mean, you have to try and keep the society together. You will try to do anything to bring that society together. Then you will have the quality of the locust. because you know that you must do for the whole, you know precisely what your obligation is, and you will do what you're supposed to do. You see? But again, what holds you back? The ego. Why should I do? Why he's sitting home and I'm going to do for him? So we all lose out. Okay? That's the first three, okay? Okay. Right, any questions? Okay. One more, okay? One more. Yeah. Could you show me? Could you tell me? Tell me one.
I'm looking around. I see one example down by the rocks. It says that they may do it very little by going to the rocks.
Who said?
You
mean one of the Mepharshim? Yeah. Hold on. When I started out, I said there's a way of teaching you how to learn. Okay. Now there is no question that to these psukim you can find a totally another approach, and that's why I didn't leave it open for how would you approach it. If I was teaching you how to learn, then I would practically come unprepared to class when I came to Mishlei, and I would just follow your approach. I would not think of mine and just guide you on your approach. But I told you I'm not here. See, you're trying to change around the interpretation of the pasuk. And if you change around one pasuk, then to make all five psukim a cohesive whole, you're going to have to change around the whole thing. Like, for instance, Samamis, some people even hold that it's a spider. Yeah, okay, so that means they have a totally different approach how they're looking at it. They're not looking at it the way I'm looking at it. It's not wrong. It's not wrong. As long as it's a cohesive whole, it's cohesive together, each step follows, and it fits into reality, then fine. That's why, to follow you on that, I would have to, that's a whole different class. We wouldn't get past the first step then. I'd follow you. You wouldn't hear. In other words, if I'm guiding you, I would guide you how to learn Mishlei. That's a different class. Totally different class. Then I wouldn't even come prepared. Because the job would be to guide you on your approach, not to hear my approach. Okay? Well, to show you, if I don't accept that, I would have to show you rationally why I don't accept it. But that would be a different type of shir. Okay? It's a good question. It's a different type of shir. Okay. All right, gentlemen, one more. All right, the thing is like this. The monkey, we said, monkey grabs with his hands, right? We said his weakness is in a particular situation, and then he's in the palace of the king. Okay? What does that have to do with man? There are certain situations in the physical world, even though I do all the right things, I've done the first three steps here. I see the future and I know how to prepare for it. I know when to back down and I know how to relate to society. That's it. I have no ego in this area. But still in all, there are factors in life that that I have no control over, there is a certain factor that the physical world can harm me. Okay? There are certain situations, just like for the monkey, there is a certain situation that the monkey cannot exist in. There are certain situations with all the chachma I cannot exist in. So how could I exist in that situation? There is a way. Even if you don't have the chachma, there is a way of existence. What is that? What way is that? Hashkacha. We have a God that sometimes changes around the physical world for my needs. Right? We saw that by the Avos. Right? In other words, there's a certain point where God will change around the physical world for your needs. What do you have to do to change around the physical world for you? There is one quality which you must have. You must be able to make a monkey out of yourself for God. What do I mean? There are many times that we want to do what is right, but we feel ashamed. For instance, how many people have you heard lately brag about, do you know, I did my taxes and I didn't cheat one penny? You ever hear anybody brag about that? Anybody that did that, he'd be ashamed to. Not now, society. You see? Be ashamed to say, I didn't cheat on taxes. Every penny I paid the government what I owed him. I don't owe a penny. I didn't cheat. I'm not saying you shouldn't take deductions. That's legal. But I'm saying to cheat. To lie. You see? So the thing is that sometimes the right thing becomes very, very difficult. At one time, a Navi had to go to a soldier to tell him a nevuah. And the soldier was sitting, a whole bunch of cronies were sitting around, is in the Nevi'im and choked them. And they're sitting, or I don't remember where, Nevi'im or Shona, but anyway, they're all sitting, no, I think it was by Nevi'im. But anyway, they're all sitting around, and the Navi comes. Everybody recognized the Navi because they didn't dress like society. So the one of the soldiers says, ah, here's one of those Meshuggahs. You see? He was called a Meshuggah. Why? Why is he called a Meshuggah? Why is he called crazy? Because he didn't act according to society. Sometimes when you act totally rational, you're going to look a little different than society. So you're making a monkey out of yourself. Now, when you could make a do anything that is one, when you live the life, 100%, only one thing counts, the will of God. And even if you look funny in the eyes of the whole world, that does not affect you. That is the level where you will have hashgacha. You see? So there are four levels of ego. In other words, we're looking at all these things. There's many reasons why we should get to that level. First of all, there's religion. There's a religious reason. There's many reasons why we should try to get it. What we're looking at it is from a very, very practical view. Very practical. It's very practical to have hashgacha. It's a nice thing to have when you're in trouble and you can't work yourself out. But there is one quality in you to have all these things which you must remove, and that is the ego. You see? The ego that reality, the first step of the ego is reality does affect me. The next two are the reality in my relationship to people. One is to back down from people, and two is to do for people when they won't do for me, and three is to do the will of God. You see, everything that stops me on every level is the ego. Okay? Yes?
In terms of the monkey, how do you fit part of the monkey
of reaching with his hands? That's what makes him endeared to the public, because he tries to act like a human being and they laugh at him. He's funny. He's cute. What do you mean by cute? He's funny. Cute is funny. Cute is you do something different. You see? So what I'm saying is that the Navi was able, they called him crazy. They called him, oh, here comes that fruitcake. It's coming here again. Here he comes. They were talking about the Navi, because he did things in terms of rationale. He did things in terms of God's system and not society's system. And how the society viewed him did not affect him. I'm not saying that sometimes a person acts crazy, not because, even if, you know what I mean, sometimes even religiosity, they sometimes act crazy, it's a crazy reason. I'm saying that it has to be totally a level of chachma, only the will of God. Not the, you understand, that's all, no ego. Totally the will of God. Through chachma, where there's no ego. You see? That's the highest level, where the ego is totally gone, only the will of God. And the will of God really is the ultimate reality. Now, all I'm showing you in terms of practicality, it's worth it to go through these three steps. In the fourth step, you get hashgacha. Yes.
Isn't it true that oftentimes acting in a rational way and making yourself different will present the same danger to yourself?
Well, the chacham would know that, and he would know when he should and when he shouldn't.
Right.
No, the chacham is going to have to know that.
Right.
Right. Okay. So that's it. We're talking about five. See, what we're saying is that the only success in this world is Chachmah. And the only thing that doesn't allow you to live according to Chachmah. A lot of people have knowledge. People have PhDs. But the only thing that does not let them live according to Chachmah is different aspects of the ego. Yes.
According to what you said, you have the ego that you align with the reality. I was just saying the best thing is to totally...
You mean like a low lishma? But you cannot reach the highest level that way, and definitely that ego would affect you.
Do you have an ego that is doing the right thing?
Now, if you have an ego doing the right thing, then... Right. Yeah, I understand. But that ego is definitely a low lishma. The only thing is that you have to understand, if it's really ego, and it's not a reality, if it's really ego, then insofar as the ego is there, you're going to fail. Because whenever the system comes in conflict with the ego, your ego is going to have to, be, it's only that when you're saying that you're only successful only insofar as it's in line with the ego. What about when there's something not going to be in line with the ego? At that point, you're going to fail. It's true, as a low lishma, it's good to start out, but you should start doing it.
So the expression of ego can't have any attachment.
In other words, I wouldn't feel great about doing it for the ego. I wouldn't feel great that I'm, hey, look, I'm a chacham, even though it's for the ego. Now look, at least I'm doing the right thing. That is a fake out. It's a good low lishma, but at a certain point, you should start dealing with that low lishma. There's a certain point you should undo that low lishma. You have to make the move at a certain point. Yes?
So why should he pick the particular areas that the person has the problem with his ego? Like, I would think, like, the person can't relate to God in a certain way because he has some problem with his ego. That's a bigger problem. Why should he pick the
The thing is that when you tell me that he has an ego, he can't relate to God, I'll ask you, what level, what do you mean, what particularly can he relate to God? For instance, I'll show you, there's a Chazal that says that God says, they put in the mouth of God, Chazal, that the Baal Gaiva and me cannot exist in this world together, right? It's as if God is saying, hey, you have an ego, you think you're bigger than me, I can't live with you. No, he's putting it that way, but if a person has an ego, it means that he can't live with God. Because ego means that I am the center, nothing can happen to me. Have godly qualities. That's what the Chazal is saying. Now I'll ask you precisely which area that will not allow him to relate to God. I will tell you it will have to be one of these four. There are no others. Because anything, any particular that you point, and if you think about it, you'll see it have to be one of these four. If you show me one other that I cannot fit into one of these four, then you're right. Then you have a kakasha. Yes. Where you remove the ego totally.
The first part of the statement, you said that the heaven is three steps. The fourth step is you have an external factor on your life.
And you can't do anything about it. Right. If you.
Fine. I think of external factors in war, like the Holocaust, whatever.
Right.
So how is there a struggle? How is there a struggle? External factor.
Well, I'm talking.
I understand what you're saying, but I'm saying you have an external factor. And then where's the struggle?
In the Holocaust.
Well, yeah. According to what you're saying, that's an external factor.
Well, first of all, you're talking as the nation of Klal Yisrael as a whole, which is different than the individual. I'm only talking about Hashkacha on the individual. Your question is going to take us very, very far afield, because you're really asking me how Hashkacha works and where Hashkacha works. Yeah, I'm just telling you that's beyond the scope of it. That would be a separately different discussion, which we'd have to start all over with the basis of Hashkacha. I'm only telling you how to get Hashkacha. What? You're asking me where Hashkacha is to know where. That has nothing to do with this. The last point is simply, if there is no self, then you have to get Hashkacha. Only if you do not have any ego. Okay, where's the last person you met with no ego?
Well,
Yeah, I understand. So he asked me from a general sense. It's a different if the Ashkenazim Klaus. I mean, the Jews were in the lowest level in Mitzrayim. They didn't have any Tovel ego. That's a separate area. A gentleman, can I have your attention, please? Can I have your attention, please? Just tell me what you'd like to know. I'll just tell you this one last point. It would take, I don't think it would take a whole period, but I think it's beyond now, because the thing is, I understand you're a little jumpy, but just let me tell you what it is. If you're interested, I'll continue. If not, forget it. The point is that, see, I hold that the main thing is the first step. The other, if you have the first step, then naturally the others are going to follow. Once you see logically the harm of when you don't back down when you should, or you see the harm that you get to yourself from society, the reality would force you to start operating and dealing with these things. The first step is the difficulty with the first step. And I think I would like to, if I can, if you want, be interested, to spend some time on dealing with how to deal, to answer all the, not the rational questions. I'm sure all of you see the idea, and if you had any questions, you would ask me, so I assume you understand it rationally. But to answer our very own emotions, there is a way of talking to the emotions, and we cannot give it any out. And just to take care of that first step would take a little while, depending on the questions again. But if you're interested, so then maybe a part of the shiur tomorrow. If they want. If not, this basically insofar as the psukim you have, what I'm going to give is not part of the five psukim. Five psukim is finished. That's it. What I have to say now is a separate thing that if you want to deal with those emotions which do not allow you to be a roeh, and in particular how to deal with them, that would be the final step. And the other three I wouldn't have to, because the other three you would see, your mind, once you see rationally that you have to do it, then you'll know to start working on it, and you'll be a chacham and know how to find the answers, or to know who to go to for the answers. But I think the first step is very important to make knowledge such a reality that it's impossible for you to live without. And I think there is a way. Okay? So if you're interested, then I don't care. Well, you could either tell the mayor or whatever, however you want to work it. Rabbi Friedman, okay? Right? All right, fine. However they want, it's fine with me. Fine.
Somebody asked a question about the third level where you should help others, and he wanted clarification in helping society. All right. The thing is if you listen to a conversation of a group of people, and you sit back, just listen, don't partake, you'll notice that the conversation is, if you really listen, you'll see that nobody is listening to anybody else. What happens is, there's a difference between hearing and listening. He hears, but he doesn't listen. What happens is the first guy tells a story. Now the second guy associates to some story that he wants to tell, you see, but he just can't say anything. It has to fit into the conversation, so he uses that one point in that thing that he could jump off. Oh, that reminds me of a story. And the next guy reminds him of a story, you see, and each one tells their story because each one is only interested in telling their own story. And that is not listening, that's hearing, you see. There's only really two ways of listening, okay? One way is you have to know to listen, you have to know the art of cross-examination. Why? What is cross-examination? What is cross-examination? Cross-examination means that whatever I think plays no role, plays no part. I have to listen very carefully to what you say. I have to. Because if you say something, even in the discussion, sometimes a philosophy discussion, one person says, I hold this is right. The other guy says, well, I hold this is right. And that's their argument. Each one says which they're right. The cross-examination is that we take one point. I listen to the point, what you're saying, and I question you based on your premise. That's listening, you see. That's one type, where I really listen to you. Not any thoughts that I have play no role in the discussion. So the thing is, it sounds funny, but the guy, some guy is going to cross-examine you, is going to make you feel defensive of your opinion. That guy is really listening to you. A guy that just adds something to the thing that you all enjoy, so nobody's listening. You're all by yourself. You're not talking to each other. Right, that's one way of listening. Second way of listening is listen to the person's emotions. In other words, many times we do and say things we don't notice, and we don't recognize what world the other person is in. So two people could be talking about something, and it sounds like they're talking about the same thing, but they're really totally viewing it in two total different ways. You know, they one time tell a story that there was this king that had, there was just about the time when, you know, when like around World War I, around there. Anyway, this king was driving with this, or prince was driving with the six white horses. And just so happened, a guy from a little village that knows nothing came in and he was watching it. And somebody blew up the horses. They killed all the horses. Reporter runs to a telephone, telegram, and sends out a telegraph. War is going to begin. This guy goes home and he says, bunch of nuts, they killed six beautiful horses. I could have been a wealthy man with those horses. You know, two people see the same thing. They're in two totally different worlds, two totally different frameworks. But that, again, is a conscious thing, you see. But the thing is, there's the emotional framework, and to recognize and to act upon that. Let me give you one illustration. Many times you find parents have a big problem. As soon as they want to leave the house, or as soon as company comes, that's when their children decide to act up. All day the kid plays, no problem. As soon as company comes, right? And of course, what is the parent immediately? It's like, you're on my butt, why are you bothering me? You just want to be disturbing. That's one possibility. That's one possibility. There's another possibility. The kid might feel abandoned. He feels abandoned, and the only way he knows to get your attention is by acting up. And it's a fear. There's a fear in him, and maybe in certain cases a kid does it, he deserves a punishment. There's no question, he's a wild kid. He deserves a punishment. But sometimes all you have to do is give the kid a little attention, and it'll all go away. And I know, it worked. But the thing is that you have to know, you have to listen to the other person, not react. So the thing is to know another person is you have to listen to them consciously. That's cross-examination. And then to listen to them unconsciously, to listen to what they, when they act out, to know what they're doing, to know how to react to them. You see? Now the same thing, a lot of people write books. They write svarim for the world. But nobody says, what does the nation need? What's the problem? The problem that Moshe had is not the problem with what we have today. He has a different situation. Problem that Shamshon Raphael Hirsch addressed in his time is a different problem than what we have today. You read the Chovos Avavos in his introduction, he tells what the problem of his people are and what problem he's addressing. He's not just writing a book, but he's addressing, he listens carefully to the nation, and he addresses the needs of the nation. So we say lots of times the people do. They go do. They're doing for others. They seem like wonderful people. But they're not doing for others. They have a certain idea in their mind, they go do it. But doing for others is recognizing who and what the other person is, what they're saying, what their needs are, that's doing. You see? So the thing is, when we say doing for the nation, I don't mean just go out and, well, I'll help an old lady across the street. Maybe it's better if you don't. The lady might feel more independent, and she needs that independence more than she wants your help. You see? You don't know. You have to listen. You have to listen to each person. One person wants help. One person wants independence. You have to listen to what their needs are. And sometimes what you do for them is not always the right thing. So therefore, when you do for others, you must listen. You must understand. That's real communication. Communication is not talking. Communication is listening. All right, that was just a clarification of that third step of Mishle, okay? All right, now to the problem at hand, okay? The thing is that you see, in all ideas in the Torah, you see, in mathematics, all I have to have is an idea of mathematics, and I have to understand it, and finished, or I could take a test on it, or not, whatever, but I understand that I'm finished. In Torah, understanding is the first step, you see, because these ideas you have to incorporate, or better, you have to replace your way of operating and replace it with the way...